Good morning, everyone. It is so great to see you. We're glad that you're here this morning. Whether you're one of our members or visiting with us, we are just glad to have everyone here. If you are visiting with us, we want to make sure that you know that you're welcome here. We want to get to know you, so please stay afterward. Let us say hi and get to know you, introduce ourselves, and hopefully we can gain a friendship. And so we'd like to do that with you. Something that I didn't mention, last week we had our graduation Sunday. Of course, we only have one graduate, and I am a little biased about that, as it's being my son Jordan. But what we did was we brought his picture boards that he had made for school, and they're in the back in the lobby, and we left them there so that if you wanted to see him throughout the years as he was growing up, it's just something fun that we thought would be of interest to everyone here. So if you want to look at those, those are in the lobby, and that's what those are for. It's not some mystery. They're all Jordan, so all those pictures. My dad's doing pretty good. We're just waiting for him to find a bed for rehab. They are looking for him a bed. Hopefully it'll be here in Tulsa. That's our hope. That way he might get some more visitors, people that can come from the church here to visit him, and us as well, that we don't travel an hour and a half each way every time we want to go see him. But my brother's here this week. He's here to come and help and visit with him as well. This is his first visit here, and so we're just glad to have him with us and to enjoy the sights of Tulsa. So please welcome him and say hi to him this morning. Next week, we will be out of town. We're actually leaving tomorrow to go visit back in Oregon. The Southwest Church of Christ there is celebrating their 50th anniversary as a church, and they've invited all the past ministers to come back and to be a part of that service. And so they've asked me to come back and, for old time's sake, lead worship. And so I'll be doing that next Sunday. So in the meantime, next Sunday, Kent Hartman will be here to bring our lesson for the Sunday morning service. And then Brother Carlton Pittman will be teaching our Bible class. And so make sure to encourage each one of them as they are here serving and helping us as a congregation. Well, as you know, there are people that might be missing from our number this morning, whether they're at home sick or just not feeling well, but we also have people that are going on vacation. It's kind of that time of year where, for the summer, people will take a summer vacation. You know, our kids are out of school, so it's an opportunity to go and do fun things as a family. And so maybe your family is used to doing things like that. Maybe you like to go camping as a family, or at least maybe you used to. But places like Yosemite or Yellowstone National Park, maybe you want to go see things like Mount Rushmore, sites around our great nation. Or maybe it's other kinds of things that you like to do on your vacation. I know Branson is a popular place to go. It's not too far from here, but people like to go there and enjoy the music and the things that happen there. Maybe you're a fan of Disney and you go to Disneyland or Disney World every year. Maybe that's something fun that you like to do with your family. But there are other sites, other things that you can see and do around the country. Well, one in particular that I thought I would share this morning is in Ironton, Missouri. Does that sound familiar? The great town of Ironton, Missouri. Not very well known, but they have an attraction there that draws people around the nation, or at least it used to. And it's not a celebrity, it's not a special building or site or anything like that. It's actually a four-legged furry friend that likes to sit in the middle of the road. This is their best kept secret. He's kind of their community celebrity. It's along Highway 21. In Ironton, Missouri. It's a three-way intersection with a stop sign. And the talk of the town is probably its biggest surprise, but he's their biggest attraction there. His owner, Sherry Miller, says that he's the biggest thing there is. His name is Ike, and he is the town beggar. To people who know him, he's more than just a dog. As Sherry Miller says, she says, "I've heard him called the hitchhiker, cheeseburger, three-way dog, a little bit of everything. And so what is his story? Well, back at Highway 21 and Highway Inn, where he sits and he lays in the street and he begs day after day, it's kind of a tradition, she says, the owner of this dog, Ike. A tradition that Miller said started years ago. Ike's dad, another dog, John, was the first one that hung out in the road. And so obviously this dog learned from the previous dog, but that legacy continues. So he gets treats and treats and more treats, she says. Some say he eats better than most people, and it's worth risking his own fur to sit there in the middle of the road. I don't know if you can see on that bottom left picture, he's out in the road. He gets chicken breast from Town and Country. He's gotten biscuits and gravy, cheeseburgers from McDonald's, and that's why he gets the nickname Cheeseburger. But he doesn't care for hot dogs, is my understanding, because she has seen hot dogs lay out there for days, so don't give him hot dogs, she said. So Ike has made himself a name or two there in Ironton. The sheriff, the mayor, and the Ironton Welcoming Committee, the highway hound, the ghost dog, these are all nicknames that this dog has gotten. There's a Facebook page created just for Ike. People all over the country now know about him. He's known in Texas, Georgia, New York, Colorado, and then, of course, all throughout Missouri. Well, thanks to the Facebook page, he's getting a lot of likes and attentions and more love than ever. And so they decided to collect these different stories about seeing him in the road. He'll even howl if an ambulance starts to go by. Well, unfortunately, first let me say that they decided to start a fundraiser. It's called Backpack Impact. It's a local organization, and their funds will send meals home with kids who don't have food on the weekends after school. So if you see him, what he's doing is he's raising money. They use him to raise money for this community support. But unfortunately, he did pass away. He was hit at that intersection by a car in November 15th of 2021, and it was a sad day. She says, all I could do was cry. He was a staple in Ironton, but community members quickly built a memorial in the road that he would often rest at. And then the mayor said that the town is taking time to adjust now that he's gone. So they are trying to raise money at this point for a little landmark, something to remember him by, and to continue to raise funds for this Backpack Impact. Well, not all panhandlers are created equal, as we know, right? Many of them are looked at with disdain and anger. And in our passage this morning, Jesus says that when you do give to the needy, to not make a big show of it. And so let's read our passage this morning from the Sermon on the Mount. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 4 this morning. So if you want to turn over there, let's turn over there together, and we're going to read Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 1. Jesus says, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." You know, as we move into this next chapter, chapter 6 of the Sermon on the Mount, you know, in our series, we're talking about walking with Christ, and that's what these banners are all about that we have in the building. We are remembering that this is our theme this year for 2023. Well, Jesus continues to bring new thoughts about life and about how those who follow Jesus should live. In this passage this morning, Jesus is talking about how we should do our good deeds. In reality, Jesus pivots just slightly as he takes on three major pillars of Judaism. You know, if you were a devout Jew, these are three things that they would believe very strongly in. They hold these practices very sacredly. And these three pillars of Judaism were giving and prayer and fasting. And we see that in the first 18 verses of chapter 6. He's going to address each of these three pillars. But we're just going to deal with the first one today. Today is just about giving, and then the other two will come in subsequent lessons in the next weeks. Well, Jesus here is calling these people in the sermon to their giving, their prayer, and their fasting. And Jesus is telling them that this should be done sincerely before God, this God who gives the eternal reward to us, instead of the hypocritically way that they had been doing it to gain recognition before men. You know, their reward may come immediately, those that do this for others, but it fades very quickly. It's not that eternal reward. You know, I grew up in a good church. They worked hard to reach lost people, especially in our youth ministry. We had a very large youth group compared to the entire church. You don't see a youth group as large as ours was compared to how many people we actually had in our church. And as I got older, many of my friends actually abandoned their faith. They abandoned the church, and they said it was because the people there were hypocrites. It's an interesting word to use. That's the word that Jesus uses in this passage. You know, I didn't understand that when I heard that at the time, that the people that loved and cared for us, you know, the people who loved me in good times and in bad times, they were hypocrites, you know, but for one reason or another, the church stood for truth, and when sinfulness wasn't embraced, they were considered hypocrites. These people would get angry, stop attending because they didn't like hearing the truth. And I know that the church loved them. I saw it. I witnessed that. But my friends couldn't recognize that. They couldn't reconcile that their behavior was actually destructive. And so they rejected the church and called them names. And I think of the character from The Princess Bride when I would hear that. His name is Inigo Montoya. When I say this next line, it's not from the movie, but it harkens back to this line, hypocrites. I do not think that word means what you think it means. Well, Jesus knew what that word meant. And when he uses it here, he meant it. And he was trying to get them to understand what that meant. Jesus' concern for these people was that their motives needed to be in the right place. You know, why did you follow these three pillars of faith in giving, in prayer, and fasting? Was it to honor God, or were these people more concerned with the way that others would look at them, favorably or unfavorably? I want to ask us this question this morning too. As we go through this passage, I want us to think about why we do what we do. What motivates us to act and behave the way that we do, especially in matters of faith and in spiritual activity? Do we desire for the praise of the people around us? Is our desire for the praise of men? That's an ever-present danger for us. Dallas Willard, in his book, The Divine Conspiracy, he addresses this. He said, desire for religious respect or reputation will immediately drag us into the rightness of scribes and Pharisees because that desire always focuses entirely upon the visible action, not on the source of action in the heart. Well, first, let's go into this passage a little bit. First, hear what Jesus says about these three pillars, beginning with giving. Jesus says, when you give to the needy, in verse 2. This assumption that Jesus is making is that we give to the needy. He says it, when, not if, right? He uses the word when you give. In Jesus' teaching, he's telling us that we are called to give to those that need help. It's not a question of if we do it, because being a follower of Jesus assumes that you will help those that are in need and give to the poor. It's assumed that we are seeking to help those in need. Well, Jesus tells us to let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. We learned about that back in chapter 5. Well, now he addresses these three good works here in chapter 6 with giving, prayer, and fasting. However, when it comes to these good works, Jesus is introducing an important and surprising twist concerning how we shine that light. Because he says we're supposed to shine our light, but we're to do it without fanfare and without show. He says, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, in verse 1. And then in verse 2, he says, sound no trumpet before you. This kind of makes me think of the current trend that I see others online posting in their videos on Facebook and Instagram and on TikTok, these different social media platforms. The trend is that someone, you usually don't know who it is, although I have seen one person who does post his own face, but someone will find this unsuspecting passerby in a store or maybe outside of a concert or a venue of some sort, and they ask for just a dollar. You know, I need a dollar for bus fare. I'm just a little bit short. Or I need a dollar to help me buy this little gift trinket for my child's birthday. Well, that person will say, oh, sure, I'll help you. I'll help you out. And they give them a dollar. And the video poster will say, okay, thank you. You know, why did you help me? And they'll tell them, well, you know, I was taught to help other people when they need help. It's only a dollar. And so they said, well, I didn't really need the dollar. I just wanted to see the first person willing to give me the dollar. And then they turn around and say, hey, you know, I want to help you now. And so they'll give them $500 or $1,000. Or, you know, now I'm going to take you to this concert. Or I'm going to take you to this hockey game. I've seen all kinds of different videos like this. I find these videos uplifting. It is joyful to see the look on someone's face who actually probably needed help. You know, I gave you that dollar, but I'm hurting too right now. And that $500 is actually going to help me. I need to pay some bills. But at the same time, I have this conflict in my mind that, you know, this person, we don't need to see this. Why are you posting this? Just help people. You know, is this to be praised? Is this to gain clicks on your Instagram or on your TikTok? You know, I don't know if they're a Christian person, but Jesus says to give without fanfare. He says to seek to not be seen when you give. In fact, Jesus says it's best to do these things in secret, in privacy. For the first century Jewish person, this would be a shocking thing to hear. They actually celebrated public and visible displays of religious expression. You think of the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. We've been through that parable before. You know, in Luke 18, this Pharisee stands before the temple and he's praying out loud and visibly, and he ends up pointing and laughing at the thought of this tax collector standing there trying to pray, and he's, you know, talking badly about this tax collector, and all the tax collector can do is stand there and beg God for mercy. And that's the way that the Jews would view this at the time. They would praise visible public prayer and giving and fasting. And Jesus is saying, no, don't do that. Do the opposite of what your nature would want you to do. So I want us to see a couple of points about giving this morning as I conclude this message for us. The first one is, when you give, don't give seeking the praise of other people. In Matthew 5, verse 20, Jesus says, for I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, now he provides a follow-up to this statement in chapter 6. And he says, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. These last five words, to be seen by them, those are critically important in this passage. They help us to see how this verse is, it's not trying to contradict Jesus' command to let your light shine before men. The issue is their motive. What are they trying to do? Is it to be seen by others? His command in chapter 6, verse 1 is to watch yourself. Be careful. He's calling for constant watchfulness in our motives. Is my desire for giving to honor and glorify God? Or am I trying to gain glory and praise for myself through the applause and the recognition of other people? If it's the latter, you can be certain that what he says here in this same verse, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. Men may praise you, but your heavenly Father will not. And I think back in my life to an anonymous evaluation that I was given in ministry at a very particularly dark church. It was a difficult time for me in my life. First, the evaluation, it was anonymous. I had no idea who was saying these things about me in particular. That alone I thought was wrong and sinful. But second, I was chided for them not knowing, and I quote, if I was growing in faith, or if my zeal for ministry, or if I was spiritually developing my faith. Well, I don't live by sharing all the things that I do in my life. You know, I don't share all the things I do in the world. On the one hand, I was accused of sharing a lot of things online, being very visible online. And in the same breath, I was being accused of not helping other people because I didn't post it online. I don't know. I didn't tell them about the money I would give to people. I didn't tell them about the meals that I bought for the needy. You know, I didn't broadcast how I would help others who have no home, have a temporary place to live. I didn't talk about the people that I supported in ministry and how we would give financially to them every month. I didn't talk about the poor people that I helped, and I didn't trumpet it out all the time. I've often said that I will not be awarded or given an award in ministry from the different brotherhood schools that I'm a part of or the events that I've been to, because I'm not known for what I do. We have this problem of rewarding people for doing these things, and then those who are silent, slogging and grinding away in ministry, they're often the ones who get ignored. The ones that are visible, the ones that we see, they tend to get the awards. We reward flash, and we ignore substance. Well, before I move on to our second statement on giving, I want to address the word hypocrite. Now, I mentioned this before. The word hypocrite comes from the Greek. It's hypokrites, originally referred to as a play actor who performed on stage for the Greek and the Roman theaters. The verbal form of this word was frequently used in Jewish writings. This was something that they used oftentimes to talk about pretending, play acting. Many ancient play actors aspired to be these celebrities who would be adored by the masses. And they lived for the thrill of the standing ovations and the prizes and the awards. When Jesus uses this word, it's intentional. Jesus is saying something about these people. He's saying that people who do this, who give just to be seen, are people who are pretending. They're play actors. They were playing spiritual pretend, showing a piety that they did not actually have in order to be seen as these philanthropists in the world around them. What Jesus is saying is, don't wear a mask when it comes to your faith. Give because you have a heart for God and for the poor. Give because you truly want to help people who are in need. Give for their sake. There's a better reward that we will gain. Well, number two, when you give seeking the pleasure of God. Both verse 1 and verse 4 refer to our Father in heaven. They bracket together Jesus' instruction on giving. And they place the focus on where our attention needs to be when we give. We seek God's approval and no other. We seek God's pleasure in His alone. The reward that we desire is with our Father in heaven. And this is a secret reward. Not that we don't tell people of the reward or hold it as a secret, only to tell those certain people we like, the people that we want to come with us, and them alone. No, but the reward we receive is given in secret as our deed is done in secret. We can know that when we give, your Father who sees you in secret will reward you. That's in verse 4. That gift is more than enough. I don't need the recognition of other people. Amen, church? I pray we take this into account this morning. Do give. Give generously. Give to those that need it. But do it because you want to do it, because it's what's right. And to do it because you want to help people. As we read in our scripture reading this morning in Matthew chapter 25, verses 35 through 40, "For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty,
and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? The king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. You know, maybe this is something that you struggle with, giving to the needy. You know, I know that we talked a little bit about this at one point, that it was tough for a Jewish person to ask for help. They just didn't want to ask. They thought it was beneath them. And if they truly were in need, this was a desperate last attempt to ask for help. And I think sometimes we check the motives of those who are asking for help because we're worried about whether we're being responsible or good stewards of our money. Maybe you think everybody's a scammer or lazy, those people who beg. And maybe you have given simply to be seen. I don't know. But today, we can ask forgiveness about that and move into a life of humble service. You know, that's what we are called to do as followers of Jesus. We're called to give and to do it out of the generous heart that we have as Christian people. We have been blessed with so much in our lives. Whether it's financial or not is not the question. God blesses us each and every day. And so that's why we give. We give out of the abundance of our hearts. And that's what Jesus is calling these people to do here in chapter 6. Give because you've been given so much, so many blessings from God. It is a blessing to be a part of the church and to know Jesus and to know what he wants from us. And it's such a simple thing that he's asking. But maybe you struggle with that, or maybe there's another need that you have this morning. We're going to sing this song of invitation, and I want to say that this is a time when you can come and respond to this invitation song, and we'll pray with you about whatever need it is that you have. So if you have a need, whatever that might be, come now while we stand and sing.